Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. On Friday, we completed our review of Genesis chapter 2, and now at the start of a brand new week, we're ready to resume our discussion on marriage in Genesis 2 at verse 24. Here is a reminder of what we are going to do. I hope that those of you who are faithful to this radio broadcast and internet podcast will benefit from this, as well as those of you joining us only recently or even today for the first time. We welcome you here as we continue to discover who God is. We have been reading and thinking carefully about Genesis chapter 2 for some time now. We want to know what this awesome ancient text has to teach us today about who we are as men and women in light of who God is. Out of all the verses we've had in this second chapter of Genesis, this verse, 24, stands out to us as one in which we need to really take our time. We have, thus far, asked three questions of the text. Do you remember what these are? The first one was, why here? Why does God introduce us to marriage so early on in the Bible? We asked this and we answered this. Our second question was, who said what we read in verse 24? We asked that and we answered that. And then we came to this third big question, so pertinent for our day. What is marriage? What is marriage? Specifically, what is God's view of marriage? How does he see it? We've asked this question and we are in the process of answering it. But any good answer, any biblical answer, takes time. So out of the 25 verses of Genesis 2, we are investing the most time and attention on verse 24. And this is how we defined marriage as God does. Marriage is one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime. I'll say that again. Marriage is one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime. That is clear from reading Genesis 2:24, which says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." As we begin to discuss the content of this definition, I acknowledged that, practically speaking, this very biblical definition of what God means by marriage does not match a lot of people's lived experience. There are several problems that people in general, and perhaps you specifically, will have with this. The two most common are that today many marriages are not one-flesh marriages, and many marriages are not one-lifetime marriages. It is all well and good to say that marriage is one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime, but is this the way your marriage is? What about your friends' marriages? Your children's and grandchildren's marriages? What about what we observe happening with marriage in our culture? I intend to be practical. We cannot talk about marriage without acknowledging that marriage is a very down-to-earth, pragmatic reality. You know this. I know this. So our discussion will not be one of escaping to a theological library and debating as two seminary students would. I am a pastor, and so I am used to dealing with marriage practically. I am aware that saying marriage is one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime does not match many people's experience, and even Christian people's experience. And this brings us to our questions. These are the ones I intend to deal with, although I acknowledge there are more than these. First, what about when a spouse dies and the living spouse still has life to live? What about remarriage? Biblically, can a widow or a widower be remarried? Second, what about when someone gets married before they become a Christian, but their conversion radically changes how they behave in marriage, and their spouse does not convert and leaves the marriage? What then? What can the abandoned Christian spouse do? Can he or she remarry a Christian? How does the expectation for a one-lifetime marriage apply in this case? Third, and most popular, what about divorce? If one marriage is to last one lifetime, is divorce even an option? What does God think about divorce? God's command is for one marriage that lasts one lifetime, but if a marriage ends in divorce, can the divorcee marry again? Is marrying after divorce acceptable to God? And fourth, what about one spouse abusing another in the marriage? Should the one being abused really stay married for life? What about abuse in marriages? These are the questions I have. These are questions that have often been asked of me, and I am willing to guess that you may well have one or more of these questions flow through your mind as you have been tuning into God Is and listening to me interpret what God's view of marriage is. Our answers to these questions in the coming days will obviously require us to use the whole Bible, so we will keep Genesis 2:24 as our foundation stone and then build on top of it. I hope that you will be willing to bring along your copy of the Bible to this, or if you are driving or otherwise occupied, that you will take some time each evening to read for yourself what we read together. That will greatly enhance your own understanding of God and His Word. And do remember, we seek God's opinion. We want to know God's will in these important matters, and He has revealed Himself and His opinion to us through the Bible. Okay, with all of this said, let's take up our first question. First, what about when a spouse dies and the living spouse still has life to live? What about remarriage in this case? Biblically, can a widow or a widower be remarried? A widow is a woman whose husband has died. A widower is a man whose wife has died. Since we have defined marriage as being one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime, does God expect this man whose wife has died or this woman whose husband has died to remain single for the rest of their lives? The clear answer from Scripture is that when a person's spouse dies, their surviving spouse is free to marry another Christian. According to the Bible, the marriage covenant ends with the death of one spouse. Maybe you've heard this said in the exchange of wedding vows, "Until death do us part." That's what the bride and groom say to one another. Built right into the wedding vows is the clue that the marriage covenant ends with death. Let's find this in the Bible, looking for chapter and verse. Listen to Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. I'm reading now from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at ancient Rome, Romans 7, verses 2 and 3. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is alive, she gives herself to another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress if she gives herself to another man. That's clear. And the apostle reiterates this in his first letter to the Corinthians in our Bibles. Listen also to 1 Corinthians 7:39. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Again, the reference here is 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. So we have Romans 7, 2 and 3, and 1 Corinthians 7, 39. Let's take a fictitious woman named Elise. She has been married to Elliot for 10 years. They have two children. Elliot sadly dies. Is Elise free to remarry, to marry for a second time? Yes, she is. About 5 years after Elliot has passed away, Elise meets Jack, a Christian man from her church. Jack is a widower. His wife died of cancer. Is Jack free to remarry, to be married to Elise? Yes, he is. They can marry one another. Conscience is free before the Lord and the church because Elise's marriage to Elliot has ended in the death of Elliot? and Jack's first marriage to his wife has ended because his wife has also passed away. Now, we want to be quick to emphasize three convictions here from Paul the Apostle. First, notice at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39, he says, "She is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord." Note, only in the Lord, meaning whomever the Christian widow and by extension widower marries must also be a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is not encouraging Elise and Jack to remarry whomever. No, their second spouse is to be a Christian man or a Christian woman. Second, notice that in Romans 7 verse 3, the apostle writes, "If while her husband is alive, she gives herself to another man, she will be called an adulteress." In our example, Elise is not free to marry another man while her husband Elliot is alive. If she does that, she commits adultery. And we'll talk about this another day. But Elise and Jack are not adulterers because both of their first spouses are dead. And third, neither the Apostle Paul nor I am saying it is necessarily wise for Elise the widow or Jack the widower to remarry. It may not be. Both Elise and Jack will have to discern that before God, their family, friends, and the church to which they belong. All I am saying is that there is no command of God in the Bible now prohibiting Elise and Jack to get married. And this answers our first of the four questions. Well, that was easy. Yes, this first question is easy to answer. Tomorrow I want to begin by saying something more about this, just briefly, and then we will move on to question number two. We have four questions, and we'll be moving through them together. So please come back and join us as we discuss marriage and as we continue to get to know who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.